Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them. From the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums, to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. In today's solo episode, I'm revisiting the advice that I asked newsletter subscribers for and podcast listeners. Basically, I asked, what would you want to know about family history research as a beginner? What do you wish you had known when you first started? And it very easily fell into several categories. In the last solo episode, I talked about general advice that all of you had. In this episode, I'm going to talk about interviewing relatives and the advice that many people gave on that topic. Now, interviewing relatives is really easy to do these days, and I will say that most of the major genealogical providers and databases now include audio as a way for you to save family history interviews. Even VivaPix now has a memory station where you can record audio for images. So here's the advice. Amy P., her advice is spot on. Talk to your elder relatives to get base information before starting on your journey. A lot of the information on ancestry and other locations is close, but not necessarily correct. So she was going off the family Bible on one branch, which conflicted with information that from searches and family trees, and she turned to her relatives for additional information. I'd like to add to Amy's advice, which is ask them nicely. And if they don't want to do the interview, there's not too much you can do about that. You can try to persuade them, but oftentimes people just don't want to talk about themselves or their family. But if someone says, okay, I do want to be interviewed, you need to get materials ready. How are you going to record them? Are you recording them in an app, on your phone, with a tape recorder? So you need equipment. But you also need to prepare for the interview by knowing something about the person. And that means doing a little bit of research before you go and gathering any materials that you might have to act as memory triggers. Now, memory triggers can be anything from a chocolate chip cookie that their grandmother used to make that you still have the recipe for, to photograph, to a small artifact that's still in the family. I mean, you get my drift. You have to help people along to remember the memories. And then you need to create a list of questions. If you search interviewing relatives on Google, you will come up with any number of websites that give you ideas on how to do that interview, questions to ask. One of the most complete ones I found is on AmericanAncestors.org. They actually have a page on their website, and I will share that in the show notes. AmericanAncestors.org, Conducting Family History Interview. That's the name of the page. And it's very in-depth. Who are you going to interview? Are you going to talk to one person at a time or do a group interview? How are you going to connect with them? Is it going to be in person or phone or video chat? And then think about what you really want to know. But sometimes you have to ask basic questions before you get to the meat of what you want to know. Generally, interviews are short, meaning no more than 30 minutes. So you don't want to overwhelm the person. You can always come back to them another time if you schedule with them a series of interviews. You can send them the questions beforehand. Some people prefer it that way. And understand that if they can't remember right away, it doesn't mean they won't remember later. Sometimes the trigger takes a little time to work its magic. And you're going to ask them things from everything from their childhood years and school. Who were they named after? Did they have a hobby? Because basically you want to create sort of a mini biography of all these people. What about their teenage years and their school years? And how did they get along with people in the family? Asking all of these questions, and then of course, you want to know things like, who were your parents? What is your full name? What were your parents' full names? What do they remember about their parents? You want all the information, but it may take you several interviews to get there. That was Amy's advice with my add-on. So Anne's advice was similar. She said, interview the oldest relatives. Go right now and do it. Obviously, you want to start with the oldest, most fragile members of your family so that you capture their information, you know, while they're still with us, because you can't ask them after. Bill said that he wished he had started the interview process sooner, that he had written down the stories from his parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. Right, well, now we have the wonder of audio recording. We can even just push a button on our smartphones and record. And it's important to get that. And transcribing it is very easy. If you have interviews that you would like to transcribe, email me at photodetective@maureentaylor.com and I'll give you some advice on that. Carol said that she got hooked on genealogy as a young girl because she loved looking at the photo albums of herself as a baby. Plus, she loved listening to her maternal grandfather tell stories. The advice she had for herself is that she would ask more questions and learn more details of the older generation while they were still around, that she really regrets not asking more questions. So for me, if you've heard my background story, you know that my mom is pretty much responsible for me being the photo detective, meaning she used to sit around with the family photographs and tell me stories about them and identify people in them. And later in life, I did actually record her talking about all these photographs so that I have her voice. And after people are gone, listening to their voice is a bittersweet moment. Kathy recommends asking your parents and grandparents to tell you the stories of their lives and record their answers the soonest way you can. And it doesn't have to be a special interview occasion if these are people you see all the time. You can record them at family gatherings, holiday dinners, for instance, or holiday parties. Some people are very uncomfortable with the whole idea of recording. They're not comfortable with their voices, or I'm not really sure what the issue is with most people and being recorded. But I have found, and I have done a lot of interviews over my lifetime, both for genealogy, but for work, and for this podcast, of course, I find that if you put a recording device down on a table and you start asking interesting questions, that soon the person being interviewed forgets that the recording device is there. Clive says that while your grandparents are living and your parents are around, ask all the questions, because you won't be able to do that later. We've already talked about that, how hard it is to ask those questions. And Danette said that she really wished that she had done that with her paternal aunts, because there were 8 female cousins that grew up next door to her, and she was too busy with her life, right? We get married, we have children, we have jobs. We get busy and we forget to take the time to do this basic step, which is talk to people, capture their memories. And they may have information that you don't have. I remember at an uncle's funeral a long time ago now, I call her my dad's cousin, but she's my cousin, of course, but her mother and my dad's mother, my grandmother, were sisters. And she's still with us, and she's an avid genealogist, and I call her and talk about stories. But she had stories that I had never heard before about my great-grandparents, her grandparents. And that was extraordinarily valuable. And I've written them all down because I don't want to lose them or forget about what they are. Emma's advice is that she wishes that when you're helping older relatives to downsize or settling in estate, be careful of what is thrown out and to take photos of any items that have a bit of history attached before they're disposed of. So years ago, she was working on her genealogy and really wishes she had kept her parents' records related to the house they built and a few other papers. And stuff gets thrown out. I mean, my dad threw out all kinds of things, not knowing that we would be interested in those old cemetery cards or other types of paperwork that was just put in a box at my grandmother's house. Now, of course, I wish that I had been a little bit older and seen him doing it so I could say, please stop, we actually need all that paperwork. Georgie says, please reach out to others and ask for their help in how to pinpoint the questions, organize the research, and save the important documents and photos you find. If you do that, you'll avoid repetition, lost citations, and missed clues. Her advice is to take as many courses as possible and get someone to go over your findings once in a while. Now, of course, I'm the photo detective. I actually offer consults for individuals and organizations. So please reach out if you have a photograph that you'd like to know more about. John said it's really important to listen to our elders and to encourage them to tell their stories. Kathy's advice is to keep a research log detailing all the sources, including anecdotal family stories. And of course, her advice is also interview the oldest family members while you have them and have them identify people and places in their photo collections. Of course, that's what we want. We want to leave no photos unidentified. I've only met 2 people in all of my career as the photo detective who could say truthfully that they didn't have any unidentified photographs, that family members had identified them before they passed. It's a wonderful thing, but most of you, and myself included, have a photograph or two that they really would like to know more about. Kim says that she really wishes she had recorded interviews with her grandma instead of just taking notes. Right, when you take notes, you can't take notes fast enough, but audio files can be transcribed and give you the information just as easily. Oh, and Leanne says, while you're doing the interview, it's a good time to bring up, have you taken a DNA test yet? Because maybe if you can get them interested in family history, having their DNA is also really important to obtain before it's too late. Many people said there's no shortage of questions to be asked and that you should ask more questions, not less, ask more and be organized. Have those questions laid out in a checklist so you can say, yes, I've asked this and I've asked this and I've asked this. It's really important to do that so that you don't lose track of where you are in the interview process. Plus, I guarantee that as you ask these questions, other questions will percolate. They'll be, where did you go to school? And they'll start telling a story about one aspect of their schooling, and there'll be other questions as well. For me, I asked my mom to identify a photograph of herself as a small child, and instead of telling me about the photograph, which I still don't know exactly where this series of snapshots was taken, even though I've tried really hard to figure it out, and taken her driving in the neighborhood, weren't able to identify the location. But in any case, what she told me instead was what she remembered about being five, going to school, and how she didn't like it, and going out with her older sister who was 12 years older. And those memories were actually more important to me than the location of those several snapshots. Marcy talks about citing your sources where you obtain the information. But if it wasn't an interview, you might ask, how do they know that? How do they know their grandparents' first names and last names and middle names, even? Is that something they were told personally, or is that something they were told later? And that is key, because you might have to do additional research. Maybe they misheard it, or maybe they misremember it years later. So just to recap, interviewing your relatives is really important because they have memories that you don't have. If you get a group of siblings together, they will each remember a different part of a story until you get a richer retelling that you can put together in a blog post or a book or something like that. Again, you can add audio to your MyHeritage app. I believe Ancestry has audio as well. Storied has a way of uploading audio. You can record on your smartphone or with a portable recorder, a digital recorder. Last year, in, I believe it was 2023, I gave an interview for the Today Show blog about, it was for Mother's Day, and it was all about what you would want to know about your moms, because we think of our moms and grandmothers almost completely in the role taking care of children. But in fact, our moms and grandmoms had lives before they became our moms or grandmothers. And in this article, I'll also include this link in the show notes that there's a list of questions that it's a little bit different than the genealogical ones, right? Where we talk about your parents and grandparents and schooling and all of that. They asked questions like, what's the first thing you can remember from your childhood? What subject did you like best in school? What was the first vacation you ever took? There's a lot of great questions in this blog post. So look in the show notes for both the link to the American Ancestors, but also the link to this todayshow.com blog post. Thank you very much for joining me for the Photo Detective solo episode. There's one more to go in this series from advice that you would want to give to your younger self before you get started doing family history. Thank you. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review, and if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on
Family Photo Investigations.